Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Monday morning, Monday, February the 12th, 2024, 19 minutes past the hour, 28 degrees and sunny skies in our area this morning. And we are so glad to be joined by our first guest this morning. His first appearance on the program was actually Election Day morning, 2023, and we're so glad to have him back today with so much news going on as of late. Concerning the president and the presidential race and so many other things. What a pleasure it is to welcome back to these microphones the 67th governor of the state of Ohio, Governor Bob Taft. Governor Taft, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Enjoying teaching at the University of Dayton, so it's good to talk with you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Governor Taft, I've got to ask you, it's not a political question right off the bat, but did you watch the Super Bowl last night?
I was diligently preparing for my classes today, but I know who won.
Are you surprised, and this is the only thing on the Super Bowl, are you surprised by all this media that the Super Bowl got this year because of Taylor Swift? Does that surprise you?
No, we're in the celebrity era, Scott, so that's what entertainment and sports seems to have become, and sadly, politics as well.
You know, and that's very interesting. I was talking with somebody last week about politics and how I think more people know politicians than know movie stars. They've almost become the new Hollywood.
Well, that's exactly right. And of course, you know, Donald Trump was a star on TV before he became president, and he may not have been able to become president without first being a celebrity, you know, The Apprentice and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Do you think we would have taken Donald Trump as seriously as just being a New York businessman had he not had that television exposure?
I think that expanded, you know, public awareness about him. When he started to run for president, he was already probably known by a vast majority of the people in that country. That's a huge advantage.
Before we get to President Biden, because there was a bombshell last week, bombshell story, which I'm sure everybody knows now, the special counsel looking into documents concerning President Biden, but former President Trump, it looks as if he certainly is going to get the Republican nomination for president this year. This is a presidential year. What do you make of former President Trump certainly closing in on that nomination? And is that good for the Republican Party?
Well, you're probably asking someone who's a little biased. I'll be supporting Nikki Haley. Even though her chances are not very strong, and one reason is that I don't think that Donald Trump would be the strongest candidate for the Republicans going into the fall. Not only the court cases, but just the kind of challenges that he faced back in 2020 in some of those key battleground states right here in the Midwest.
Do you think Nikki Haley has any chance at this point to pull it off?
Well, it's extremely uphill. It's a real challenge, and you know, nobody knows what's going to happen to Donald Trump to these court cases. Clearly, you know, Donald Trump has a huge lead right now in states all across the country. So, you know, you never know. You never say never in politics. You never know what could happen. Certainly, it looks like a very uphill battle for Nikki Haley right now.
You know, it's very interesting, Governor Taft, because Chris Christie last week, who was a candidate for president running for that nomination on the Republican side, released a new book about Ronald Reagan, and I think that brought back a lot of good memories of the Republican Party for a lot of people who loved Ronald Reagan. But he said he believes that the court case against President Trump, one of the court cases, could be finished by the time he would accept the nomination of the Republican Party, and there could be a convicted felon accepting that nomination. Now, of course, we don't know what the outcome of that trial would be, but do you believe that's feasible, that this could happen?
It's feasible. It's possible. I try to follow the news. I think it's becoming increasingly less likely that there will be a trial and a conviction before the time that Donald Trump becomes the nominee, assuming that he continues to hold the lead that he has right now. It's even quite possible that there will be no court case prior to the November election at this point, because the Trump tactic is obviously to delay. So far he's having a lot of success in through appeals and delaying events to where the trial would take place.
Before we get to Joe Biden here, because of course your family has a great lineage, your great-grandfather, William Howard Taft, of course, former president of the United States, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, so a lot of important positions he held. But it's interesting that here we are in 2024, whether it be a Republican or a Democrat, it just looks like a Republican at this point, but whether it had been a Democrat or not, with your family's history and your thoughts being in politics, do you think a convicted felon, if that were ever to happen, should be allowed to be the president of the United States?
That's a very difficult question, and that certainly would influence my own decision about electing someone if he were a convicted felon. And I'm not sure that they should be necessarily legally barred, but I think it would be. If that happens before the election, I think it will influence the election and the judgment of a lot of people. And that it would make it more difficult for Donald Trump to be elected.
One more question, then I want to move on to Joe Biden. Because you are a Nikki Haley supporter, as you say, if she does not get the nomination, would you be somebody who would support President Trump at this point?
Man, that's speculative at this point. It would be very difficult for me to do that for a lot of reasons. But I'll cross that bridge when I come to it.
Now I want to talk about Joe Biden, because we had a very interesting report come out last week. Special counsel who was looking into the classified documents that Joe Biden had said he was not going to prosecute Joe Biden, but this is what he said in the report. Now this is the quote: "Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury, as he did during our interview with him, as a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory." Now, this made Joe Biden very angry. He gave a press conference afterwards in which he was clearly agitated. What do you make of this finding in the special report, Governor Taft?
Well, first of all, from a political standpoint, it's devastating to Joe Biden because it reinforces the doubts that so many people have about his age and mental fitness. It really reaffirms people's anxiety, and you've probably seen the polls too, but about 3 out of 4 voters are already concerned about Biden's mental and physical health, and this report just reinforces that narrative, and certainly is politically quite damaging. It's another matter. You can have a debate about whether or not the special counsel should have included that language in a report that was going to be put out into the public arena. But the fact is that it's now out there, and that's going to be a difficult issue for President Biden, because what does he do about it? How does he address that issue? It's not going to go away. So I think that's why the Democrats and President Biden himself were so concerned about the special prosecutor's use of that language.
It's very interesting, because some things that were pointed out here, special counsel Robert Herr's report was a portrait of a man who couldn't remember when he served as Barack Obama's vice president or the year in which his beloved son Beau died. Apparently, he was asked questions about these things and couldn't remember them. Now, President Biden says that he shouldn't have been asked these questions anyway, and that's why he gave the answers he did. What do you make of this?
Well, I'm 82 now, Scott. So, but I do remember, fortunately, you know, the years when I was governor. So I was surprised by that. We all forget certain things and so forth, but Biden seems to have a pattern of that, a pattern of confusing world leaders, and then his appearance isn't that vigorous. His speaking. His style is as it used to be. People notice that. People are aware of that. It does really raise serious questions whether he can capably serve another 4 years as president.
You know, Governor Taft, it's interesting that you bring that up. You say you're 82 years old, but you can remember when you were governor. And a lot of people have framed this as an age issue. And certainly as age goes on, some people do have mental deficits, but not everybody does. It's interesting that this has been framed as an age issue when maybe it should be framed as a mental issue, a medical issue. Do you understand how this got all tied into age?
Well, that is interesting because, you know, Donald Trump is not that much younger than Joe Biden, but people don't perceive him in the same way as they do with regard to some people who don't like Trump think he's mentally unfit, but I mean in terms of kind of losing his capacities, cognitive decline, and although Trump has had some, you know, factual, you know, mix-ups as well, but people don't view that as a big problem for him serving as president as they do with Joe Biden. So I think it's more just, you know, how he appears, how he sounds, the frequency that he does mix things up or that he forgets. So, you know, it reminds me a little bit of Ronald Reagan was 77 when he left office, but he was in cognitive decline when he left office in terms of, you know, his stamina, his ability to remember and to speak forcefully and vigorously. It's something that comes with aging, and you know, the older I get, you know, older seems younger all the time, but you know, decline happens more frequently when people age, and that is the appearance of what's happening to Joe Biden, which I understand people are concerned about that.
If you are in the Democratic Party at this point, what can you do? This report comes out. He's a sitting president. Clearly, it looks as if he's got the nomination sewed up. Now, some people have said, and I believe this can be done, that if he did get the nomination, that at the convention, the delegates could go for somebody like Gavin Newsom or something like that. But a lot of people feel the country would not tolerate that unless Joe Biden himself stepped aside. So at this point, do you think he should, before these conventions, do you think, with knowing what we know in this report, that he can still pull it off in November?
Well, I think there's a real question about that, and that's the question that many Democrats have been raising, including the major political consultant to President Obama, David Axelrod, has been raising that question for a number of weeks now. And certainly, you know, if Joe Biden, you know, remains as the candidate, he will be the nominee. But he could announce, you know, tomorrow or in a couple of weeks, he could announce his retirement after a single term and free his delegates to vote their conscience. Then there would be a wide open race. So, you know, it's very late, but that could still happen. It's a possibility. It doesn't look likely at this point. That, of course, you know, is also a risky option for the Democrat Party because they would have a big battle for the nomination, and who knows who would emerge from that. Part of the issue too is that Mr. Biden's Vice President Kamala Harris is not really more popular than he is, and if he had a very popular, say, more experienced vice president, situation could be different. But that's part of the problem for the Democrats as well.
Who would it be? Who would be the likely person? As you say, I think the Vice President Harris, a lot of people have said, is about as popular as President Biden, so that might be an issue. And unfortunately, we're still saying in 2024, we've never elected a female president. There's an issue hanging over that. I mean, maybe it wouldn't be an issue this time. Who knows? But who would be? People say Gavin Newsom. Is that likely?
Well, you know, I'm not a Democrat Party operative. I'm not involved in the Democratic Party, but certainly he would, from the little I know, he would be one of the leading contenders, Gavin Newsom.
Now, we have, it looks like we're going to have Biden versus Trump. They both are over 75 years old. They both seemingly issues right now, Trump and his legal issues and Biden and his mental issues at this point. How did we get to this point? How did we get to these two being the candidates in 2024?
I think you have to look to the large number of Republicans. Republican-leaning voters who support Donald Trump, and the fact that Joe Biden defeated Donald Trump, and that he is the incumbent president, and that he obviously wants to for another term. But it is sad, from my viewpoint, for the country, you know, that we're going to have a choice between two men that are that appear to be past their prime at a time when the world is becoming, you know, more dangerous all the time with what's happening in the Middle East, with what's going on with Ukraine and Russia, particularly with the challenge of confronting China, the threat to Taiwan, other threats coming to the country from China. Which seems to want to become, you know, the paramount world power. But there are serious risks our country is facing. And we need, in my opinion, a younger, more vigorous president to confront these challenges.
You know, it's very interesting. Your great-grandfather, William Howard Taft, when he was president, was kind of out as president because of a third party. Reasons for that, a former president, Teddy Roosevelt, got involved, and of course people can look that up. But do third parties hurt the Democrats in 2024 more, or do they hurt the Republicans? And is this a time where we should have third parties in an election that is so consequential? A lot of people are very angry about this.
Yeah, I've seen some surveys right now that show that, you know, over 70% of voters are very unhappy with the choices that are going to be presented, the Biden-Trump choice. So it looks like it's a very fertile field right now for an independent candidate. If an independent candidate could get on the ballot, which is not always easy, in a whole lot of major states or the majority of states, if that third party candidate had appeal, had a message, I think it's a very good opportunity right now for a third party, not possibly to win, but to do quite well and have a major impact on the presidential race. Now, you know, who that third party candidate would be, whether it's Kennedy or somebody else, is not certain right now. And, whether the third-party candidate hurts the Republicans or hurts the Democrats more depends on who that candidate is and what their message is.
You know, Governor Taft, a lot of people feel this is a very important election coming up this year because the rap on Donald Trump right now is that he's going to be an authoritarian. This will be the end of democracy. That's what the Democrats are saying. Is that feasible? Is that believable?
Well, that's the case they're going to make. Part of their challenge is that Trump was already president. He's not an unknown. I remember the fear that Lyndon Johnson successfully raised about Barry Goldwater presidency. This is a long time ago. But the fact that Trump is a known quantity, I think it makes it difficult for the Democrats to raise those kinds of fears. They're going to have to, I think, do better than that to win the election in November.
Being a Republican yourself, obviously, Republican governor, what turned you off to President Trump?
I don't know that he has a clear, coherent political philosophy. I think he's extremely divisive for the country at a time when we are a divided country, but we need to heal, we need to come together, particularly to confront the challenges in the world that face the country, which I mentioned just a moment ago. And I think we need a president that has the capacity to unite more Americans together. Ronald Reagan was controversial, but I think he really did bring a lot of, he rallied the vast majority of Americans, to the country and to our cause and to the challenges that we face in the world. And I think that's the kind of president that we need. I think Donald Trump's strategy seems to be to play to the base, to divide, and to try to remain as controversial as possible. And I don't think that's healthy for the country.
Could you ever see, you at this point, knowing what we know about President Biden, could you ever see yourself voting for him?
Well, that's a question I'm going to defer on until we see who are the nominees, whether there is a third party choice that's available, that's a realistic choice. And it's going to be, I can tell you, it's going to be a very tough decision for me in November. I'm not at all happy with almost all of the policy of President Biden that he's been promoting. I don't think he's governed from the center. On the other hand, as I mentioned, I've got serious concerns about the divisiveness that I think would be perpetuated in this country if Donald Trump had another term. So it's going to be a very difficult decision for me.
Governor Taft, I want to ask you about Biden again. Now, a lot of people will say, and he has said, these are just gaffes, and Joe Biden's been making these gaffes for years. When you look at him, when you hear this report, do you feel that there might be a cognitive issue going on there that's very serious and worrisome for the country?
I'm not a psychologist, but it's very troubling, the frequency that he seems to forget, or the confusion that occurs is happening too often. Being president, is a much more difficult job than being governor. Governor is not easy, but it's 24/7, and it's very straining on one personally. I was just reading about a trip that Ronald Reagan took late in his presidency over to England, and everybody was commenting on how tired and not the Ronald Reagan of old that he was during that trip. So it's exhausting, it's demanding, and that's why I think it's so important that we try to have someone that's really in their prime serving as president of the country.
Governor Taft, it's interesting you mentioned Ronald Reagan, because age and memory did become an issue in his reelection campaign in 1984, and he had that famous debate moment with Walter Mondale, where he was asked during the debate about this, would you be fit to serve at your age, and so on and so forth, and he turned that moment into one of the great debate moments of all time by saying he was not going to make age an issue of this campaign or this election. He was not going to exploit the inexperience and young age of his opponent. And of course, Mondale laughs and Reagan walks away with 49 states. Can Joe Biden pull something like that off?
That's a really good question, Scott. And I'll tell you how he's not going to pull it off. He had that hastily called press conference after the special counsel report came out, and he's standing there insisting that, my memory is fine. That's not going to do it. He's got to demonstrate to the American public that he's up to the job. That means he's got to be out. He's got to campaign. It can't be like, 2020 when you campaign on Zoom with the pandemic, the COVID pandemic. He's got to show vigor, and he's got to show confidence to the American public to change the perception that now exists and the perception that was reaffirmed by the special counsel report. In 3 weeks, March 7th, we'll have the State of the Union address from President Biden, and it'll be very interesting to see, how he performs at that moment. But he really will have to move around the country. He will have to engage. He's been very sheltered by his staff, very few one-on-one interviews, didn't even do the Super Bowl interview. So the staff is obviously very concerned. His staff is very concerned about what he might say or do under pressure in a public setting, and they're trying to protect him. But if that continues, that's just going to reaffirm the message that about mental and physical health issues that will make people think twice about voting for him.
You know, Governor Taft, it's very interesting. We've got the oldest president ever running for re-election. As you say, Donald Trump is in his late 70s, certainly not a young man, and our governor is 77, Governor DeWine. How did this happen? Should there be a time when somebody should not run for office because of age?
That's a really good question. Ohio, we still have an age limit on like the Supreme Court of Ohio for judges. And that's, that's too young. I mean, of course, I'm saying that as an 82-year-old. and certainly, Governor DeWine has, from my standpoint, has shown no signs of slowing down at his age. So it does, it varies hugely from person to person. And I think, as you said before, it's not simply Joe Biden's age. It's how he has presented himself. It's what people have observed about diminished faculties that raises the issue so prominently. So I don't think there should be a strict age limit, but certainly voters should take that into consideration, particularly when you're electing the President of the United States.
Governor, we've got a few minutes left here with you, and there's just a couple state issues I wanted to get your opinion on, being a former governor. Recently, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine's administration backed off its plans to impose rules that advocates feared would have restricted gender-affirming medical treatment for adults in a way no other state has. This became a big issue. What'd you make of this?
That's an issue that I did not follow. I've got enough problems. I'm teaching a course about the U.S. Congress, the University of Dayton, and so I try to keep up on all those congressional issues. And I know Governor DeWine has spent an enormous amount of time informing himself about that very controversial issue, gender-affirming medical treatment. So I will leave that to his best judgment.
And the other question I have, ever since Issue 1 passed late last year in Ohio, making abortion legal, there's been a lot of question about this. And recently, Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost said that there might be some ways to limit this, and that voters approved new language protecting abortion in some things that have been voted on here in Ohio. What do you feel about what's been going on since Issue 1 passed?
Well, I mean, it was a very strong, yes vote for Issue 1. So that needs to be carefully considered by by the Attorney General, by legislators as they proceed. But I think the voter will should be honored. Now, that doesn't mean there might not be, under the language of that amendment, there could be ways in which abortion might be necessarily restricted or limited, but regulated. And that's, again, an issue that the Attorney General is obviously looking at, and it's one beyond my competence. But the voters spoke quite clearly on this issue, and their decision should be honored. I was shocked there were some members of the legislature, I guess, that they wanted to pass some law that would prevent the courts from interpreting that amendment. That's crazy, in my opinion. I mean, it's now the law of Ohio, and it's up to the courts to interpret it.
Final question, Governor Taft, and it goes back to our interview, which we did on election morning in 2023. We were talking about the marijuana issue, and you told us how you felt about that and how you planned to vote on that morning. But one thing that was fascinating to people, when we came to issue one, when we came to the abortion issue, and this was the morning of the election, you had said at that point that you still had not decided which way you were going to go on abortion. Now, it did pass. Issue one did pass. And I think a lot of people have wondered since our interview, certainly I've been asked, what did you end up deciding when it came to issue one? Did you vote for it or against it?
I voted yes on issue one.
Really? What brought you to that?
Well, because I thought that the current Ohio law was far too restrictive. This week ban was just not consistent with where the vast majority of Ohioans were. And so I felt that something needed to be done to deal with that very excessive restriction that the legislature had placed on people's ability to have an abortion.
And just for those people who might be listening right now and saying, Governor Taft, a Republican governor with the lineage of the Taft family, voted yes on issue one. How can that happen? What would you say to those people?
Well, I think that that the laws have changed dramatically. When I was governor, we had basically a position that was the Roe v. Wade position. Which was a reasonable, I think, compromise between the two sides, one that the majority of people could support in the state. And then Roe v. Wade was overturned, and the legislature passed a very extreme restriction. So I was reacting to that particular situation.
You know, Governor Taft, the first time you came on was on election morning, and we're so glad to have you back today, and I hope you come back in the future because you are a very candid man, and I think the audience appreciates that and certainly appreciates what you have done here in Ohio and your family lineage. I enjoy having you on as a guest because of your candidness, and I hope you do come back because I really do enjoy these visits.
Well, Scott, I certainly enjoyed it. I enjoy talking with you. I'm glad you're raising the issue and keeping the public debate going. We certainly need discussion. We need a civil dialogue here in this country. We need to do all we can to bring the nation together, to respect one another, and to go forward as united as we can, as I said, as we face these very serious challenges in the world arena.
Governor Taft, you stay well, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
Thanks very much, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Former Governor Bob Taft, 67th Governor of Ohio. How about that? Very, very, very interesting positions there. We all had wondered since election morning. That was kind of a bombshell on election morning. Bob Taft, former Ohio Governor, Republican, great-grandson of William Howard Taft, former President and Supreme Court Justice, didn't know how he was going to vote on abortion. Well, we know now. He voted yes. How about that? All right, phone lines are open. We've got about 7 minutes left today, 740-751-4038. Any thoughts on the Governor Taft interview or the Super Bowl? We can talk about that for 7 more minutes if you like. Whatever's on your mind here, 740-751-4038. Hope you heard that Bob Taft interview very clearly. We had a little bit of a sound issue there. You know, cell phones now, it's very interesting operating with cell phones, trying to send interviews out, but I think it came through clear. Certainly it came through clear in my headphones, so that's always a good thing. All right, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Phone lines are open. Any thoughts on the Governor Taft interview here this morning? Talking about, boy, that bombshell special counsel report that came out last week in regard to President Biden's apparent possible mental decline? Who knows? I don't know. You know, that whole thing was kind of tricky to me. Did he forget his vice presidency when he was vice president? Did he forget when his son died? I don't know. I don't know what that all means, to be honest with you. I think that's all very interesting in the long haul. But I think when he does go out and campaign, I think we're going to find out something. I certainly think we're going to find out how this all shakes out. I mean, I don't think you can hide it when you're out there campaigning. Now, I could be wrong, but it would seem to me it would be hard to hide. All right, phone lines are open. Got about 5 minutes left here if you want to weigh in. The final five here this morning, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Ooh, little cough there for a second. Or do you want to talk about the Chiefs' victory last night over the 49ers in overtime in the Super Bowl, 25-22? How about that? Again, Taylor Swift does not appear in the halftime show, although there is a commercial for Cetaphil that really had to do with Taylor Swift. I don't know what it had to do with hand cream, if that is a hand cream company. Cetaphil, maybe. Where a dad and daughter come together over Taylor Swift showing up at these games. So there you go. That's what's going on there. All right. Again, we had quite a few calls in hour number one this morning in regard to the Super Bowl. And I hope you got a chance to listen to Governor Bob Taft there. So there's a lot to talk about here. 4 minutes left to go, and the phone lines are wide open. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give us a buzz. We certainly would enjoy hearing from you. What about, you know, we talked about this in hour number one. What about Travis Kelce during the game putting his hands on the Chiefs coach? Very interesting stuff there. Go ahead, caller.
You know, isn't it amazing, Scott, that these sports, there we have it time and time again. The field goal kicker or extra point is one of the kind of the dividing point of win or lose. And then basketball, they didn't put the rim up higher, but they made the long shot a three-pointer. And that makes a determination who wins and loses of all the hard work. And then you pop one of those and one of the others. And that's the decision of all the work you've done in the game.
Exactly right. Did you get a chance to hear Governor Taft there?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah.
I tell you, isn't this an interesting program? We can go from talking about Super Bowls to governors of Ohio.
Well, that's what's all happening all around you. I'll let you go.
Okay, thanks. All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. I guess with the Super Bowl, you got to say it was a great game, if nothing else. But I do think it's very interesting that there is this growing negative sentiment toward Taylor Swift. I don't know if on the whole, on the long term, this relationship will be good for her or not. I really don't know. And as the caller said in hour number one, when Kelce grabbed a hold of the Chiefs coach during the game last night, Is this a forerunner of his temperament? I don't know. If you would do that on national television, I would have to believe that that's not an isolated incident. I could be wrong. Go ahead, caller.
There's one last thing I was going to put in, and maybe you can find it, or the listeners can answer your questions that you asked me. I said, remember Groundhog Shadow? Me and my shadow. And you said, wonder who sung that. But I think that was a woman, wasn't it? Well, maybe there'll just be a shadow with Taylor Swift now.
There might be just her shadow. Well, I tell you, Travis Kelce, I think, is living in her shadow at this point.
Yeah. Well, that's just what I wonder who sung that. I didn't hear anybody comment on that song. But yeah, I'll let you go. Catch up with it later.
Hey,
bye.
Thanks. All right, phone lines are open here, 740-751-4038. 59 and a half minutes past the hour. And we certainly thank everybody who called in hour number one to talk about the big Super Bowl last night. Kansas City Chiefs defeated the San Francisco 49ers 25-22 in overtime. And we thank the 67th governor of the state of Ohio, Governor Bob Taft, for coming on and sharing his thoughts on a whole lot of things. And how about that? Bob Taft voted yes on issue one, the abortion issue, last November. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.
And then just
I just made up that answer.